Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, I am trying to wreck this introduction tonight for this very, very special episode of Such Good Shoot, coming to you live from the Creaky Tiki Studios in the Creaky Tiki world of Creaky Tiki. I have said Creaky Tiki enough, and I'm just going to tell you, up there, we have Isaac. Raining from the old school, bringing you the old school. We have Shane coming from the new school, bringing you the new school. And I'm Dozer. Yes, Dozer. One more time for Dozer, because RVD is the man, bringing you the thoughts and opinions of your common man. You know, that's how it goes.
Just a common man.
Ding, ding, ding. Motherfucker.
He's got a child. He's not a condom man. They take all the feeling. It's true. I don't know.
This is going off the rails already. Well,
we can do whatever we want, man.
Real quick, I would like to give a real quick apology from myself to Aaron Crypto.
No.
He did call us out for being late, and I was just going to explain that was my fault. It was my issue.
Let's if we're gonna be real about it, it was some fucking inconsiderate fuck who decided to come into the restaurant 2 minutes before you closed and eat like fucking he had all the time in the world, even though he's probably like death. So
absolutely.
Well, you said all of that, not me.
Yeah, yes. No. I'm sure you have 2 weeks the guy.
And
fuck
then you
guy.
Can say it again. So you know, this is the segment where normally we mourn a loss. We mourn something sad, we mourn a wrestler dying or a good friend. Tonight we just drink to a rebirth. Our rebirth.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll do that. I'm going to drink right out of my SGS mug because
I'm going to get there.
Because no matter what, here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen, no matter what happens at 10:05 on Thursdays, we're going live.
We're going live somewhere, someplace, sometime. Well, time's always 10:05-ish.
So,
oh, shit, you're not supposed to water into this cup. Oh, crap. Well, audio listeners, you don't. Ah, God, I'm just spoiling everything.
Jesus, yo, dude, what the shit? Are you?
Shane, cover for me. Do you got the Sheik of the Week?
What's going on here?
Dude, I'm all right.
While Shane looks up, I just have one question.
Na-na-na.
Have you watched They Live?
No. I have not. Let's see.
Cool. That was it. So hold on one second. I got an idea. I want to try it out. It's going to probably be a terrible, terrible thing. But
oh, God. Isaac has an idea.
It's time for Sheik of the Week.
I downloaded an app.
Oh, man. We almost got a soundboard there.
Let's see. He said one day ago, fuck the evergreen tweet.
Is he still mad about the boat?
I don't know. So this is a special shout out to someone. So he tweeted, respect the hashtag International Nurses Day. And then he tweeted, and then he had a link for his some website, ironcheek.fuzzerly.com. I'm gonna go ahead and click that real quick.
Oh, it's especially terrible. It's terrible.
And while you click that, I just want to shout out. I just did that. Happy International Nurses Day, jabroni. That's for you. There you go.
Yes. And then because I know that I'll be beaten and or verbally berated. Hi, Aaron. My girlfriend, Aaron. Hello. Hello. I love you, too.
Yo,
hi.
Not just that, but social media coordinator and manager extraordinaire.
Absolutely. And I am just going to say hello to my beautiful and loving wife who does not watch this because... Why would she?
Yeah,
she already sees enough of my ugly ass all day.
She already has to hear. So.
Yeah, here's the text. Yeah.
My mother-in-law's here. Shut up.
Yeah.
Shut up.
So did anything interesting happen in wrestling this week? You know, last week. Oh, we had something interesting happen. What happened, Mr. Modern?
Well, I don't remember what day it was, but it was like last week at some point. We didn't talk about it on the Russo show. And we hadn't seen it up until Friday. But there was like what many consider an all-time classic match
forever and ever
put on by New Japan Pro Wrestling in the main event of Wrestling Dontaku 2021.
God bless you.
Will Ospreay, their heavyweight champion, facing Shingo Takagi, new challenger, and boy, was it something else.
That was a fucking...
Even I watched parts of it, and I don't watch New Japan. It was goddamn.
Yeah.
When those guys get it right, they fucking get it right. Like, they don't... Like, it's the thing. It's like, they do some of the high-flying shit, but when they work a match, they work snug enough where you can believe everything.
Yeah,
here's the
thing. They fucking nailed it.
I do not believe there's many blueprints that you should base on Will Ospreay, given his other issues in life. However, Will Ospreay to me is the blueprint of how you move someone up their weight. The job they've done and he's done, he's put in a ton of work, and that dude is beefed up comparative to when he fought Ricochet over years ago. Hi, Joey. It is me, Max Lopez.
That's Tony Schiavone. Joey, but, that's Tony Schiavone up there.
You're the Italian in here.
Yeah, what the hell?
I can't understand an Italian accent even. It's a terrible thing.
Yes, Zelina Vega might be coming back to WWF Facebook user.
WWF?
Whomever you might be.
World Wildlife Foundation?
Yes. But Will Ospreay,
wildlife.
Up, changed his moveset, started wrestling. Like now he's got the Hidden Blade, which is just a gnarly back elbow generally to the back of the head. But the job they've done with him has been insane. And he and Shingo just wrestled every style of match you could possibly wrestle in one, except like hard. But there was chain wrestling, there was hard hits, there was a lot of high flying, there was a lot of, and I don't necessarily think it was one of the all-time greatest matches. I'm not that invested in it. But it was a fucking 5-star match that you should go out and watch.
It was definitely a lot of fun. I think by the end I was,
yes,
as yeah. I recall. I mean, that's the thing, is I watched fucking this terrible fucking brain. But that match, as I recall, like by the end I was like, holy shit, yep, 5 stars. I think it was when they started just chopping the hell out of each other.
Yeah,
like, that's five. Yep, you got it.
It was that point in the New Japan match where it just broke down to them punching. And like, it just, it happens. Like,
yeah. You know, great match. It was a 5-star match. And you know what? I'm going to just say it's fucking all. That's all I'm going to say. And you know, we had Ethan in our comments talking about Zelina Vega coming back. Rumors say she's in the Performance Center. It's been planned since before WrestleMania. But who knows what these fucking dirt sheets are talking about? They don't know what they're talking about. We certainly don't know what we're talking about.
I know what I'm talking about 100 times.
It just depends on what I'm talking about.
Well, yes, if we are talking strains of weed, Isaac is your man.
Yeah, methods of masturbation.
Oh my God,
man.
Dude. When you sit on...
No. I brought it up so that way he didn't have to.
That was very good. I like that.
Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot. And it's time.
It's time!
It's for our
time.
Event!
Oh, I thought we were debuting a segment.
No. That is for SGS.
I thought this was there.
No, the After Dark is really After Dark. It's after 11:30. That's when Skinamax.
That's just on Patreon. You have to pay for that.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, fuck. Yeah, we got a Patreon.
We didn't get the link in time to put it in the link scroll thing.
Yeah,
but
we'll get it.
We'll get there. We're working on it. We said it already.
We did. They Live. I hate to break it to you. He has not
watched. I have not watched They Live, no.
Yeah.
Real tragedy. Yep. Real
complete tragedy. But you know what? Revenge of the Taker.
Yeah.
Not Taker. The Taker.
What a fuck, where like every single match was like a fucky finish.
Every single one.
And the actual Revenge of the Taker match got bumped from being the main event of the pay-per-view called Revenge of the Taker.
And it was the best match on the show by like a lot.
By a lot.
But going like the Raw right before this, because I tried to catch up. I tried to watch the Raws. They had just debuted the Titantron. The Raw was going hard. The Raw looked way better than this pay-per-view. But right before it was that fucky Raw where they were in South Africa. And half of the Raw's missing on Peacock because they don't have the whole thing.
Nice.
And I couldn't watch it because it was just terrible. Like, I watched the other terrible.
And you're kind of our resident Brian Zane here now, Dozer. You're watching, you know, you're wrestling with regretting your shit up, man.
Yeah, that's that I can kind of just casually watch as I'm working or whatever, instead of the pay-per-view where I actually have to watch these damn matches, you know. Like the Legion of Doom taking on the Hart Foundation.
Yeah.
For the World Tag Team Championships.
And it just like should have been so much better.
Yeah, I mean, it could have been. It was what it was. Yo. That is, if we get to a
that
Shane,
level, maybe one patron, but
Shane, yeah, don't I was, you dare. I was, yeah, you're getting, you get, you. You'd get paid.
Yeah, no, that's fine. If Crypto wants to become a Patreon, I'll watch They Live. I'll do it. I'll sit down. So
yeah,
that's easy. But anyways, yeah, like the match was weirdly slow, especially for an Owen match. I liked in the beginning. I can't remember which Road Warrior it was, but they were hitting some out of the sky freaking shoulder tackles. I mean, he got up there. I think it was Hawk, but he's doing just some flight shoulder tackle. But other than that, it was just every other Owen and Bulldog match. The referee's a fucking idiot. JR's making fun of the referee, bud.
When JR's getting on a ref, this ain't even like Vampiro getting on a ref. This is JR.
Yeah, Owen and British Bulldog are eating to win, and they're not even really that good at that. And then it ends with Bret Hart coming down and punching the Road Warriors, who respond by going, "What the hell, man?" And then just sitting there. They don't attack anyone. They don't go crazy. Just, boy, was this a match that was there.
Yeah, what is...
yeah, it's
sort of...
Well, and that does touch on how fucky the finish... Like, the ref comes out afterwards and goes, no, he pinned the wrong man.
Oh,
he pinned the wrong man.
I forgot the unnecessary false finish,
too. So ridiculous.
Like, they were already gone, and they make him come back, and then they threaten... Well, if they don't come back, they lose the title. Like,
and then they had the 10 count.
It made no fucking sense, but I knew from the beginning it was going to be a fucky finish. Because, even before that, I knew this was going to be a fucky finish because the Road Warriors rarely won the title. But also, people rarely beat them. Nat attack.
That's true. It is hard to beat the...
Yeah, I mean, but I would have much rather had the Road Warriors... lost because they wouldn't stop beating up Owen Hart. You know what I mean? Like, to me at least, it's like, they lost by disqualification. Yeah, they're stupid, but boy, did they beat the shit out of them. They just look like fucking idiots here, man, because they don't even do anything after they win by a DQ. Like, they're not even, like, I guess they're mad, but they're, like, marginally mad. They're just like, hey, fuck you, man, like...
Yeah, that was uncalled for.
No. I wanted to see them break the damn slammy because I am already tired of that gimmick.
Yeah, oh, not, my God.
We're not going to your birthday party.
Oh, fuck that.
At least it was the only time a slammy's actually fucking mattered.
Yeah.
The only time they ever tried to pen did.
Yeah. Do we have ratings that was for this show?
I'll rate it. Yeah, I'll rate it.
We must.
1.5 because I do like Owen, and I mean, you're dealing with a group that all four of those guys are no longer.
Oh shit!
All four of them? One of the Road Warriors? Oh.
Didn't the Animal just fucking die recently?
Oh
Hawk,
yeah.
Has been
pretty
dead.
Sure we drank to that.
Yeah, dude.
Oh and yeah, fucking, okay, yeah. Oh yeah.
Owen
yeah,
and Bulldog.
Yeah, because I got. Yeah, because I got one of his autographs, like, after, from Asshole and Asshole, whatever.
E&J. Fucking but yeah, so I'm going to drink to the fact that all four are no longer with us, and I give it a 1.5.
Yeah, also a drink to all of your DVDs, buddy.
DVD.
But, this match, I agree, 1.5. I mean, it could have been so much better, and that's what hurts about it. Just overbooked to hell, but that's 1997, man. That's the Attitude Era.
Well, here's the thing is, like, and I think I mentioned, Shane, when we watched the fact that at this point, like, the pay-per-views, except for, like, the big four, were really used only to promote Raw. Like, they were not used as blow-offs at all.
Yeah, which is good and all, but also, like... Fuck that.
Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, I get it. No, I agree for the most part. Like, most of the in your houses during this time, like, there are some good points. But if it's not, like, one of, like, the real fucking pay-per-view, then it's fucking generally...
mediocre at best.
But goddamn, the Raw's fine.
Oh, they absolutely were. I am going to give the first match on Revenge of the Taker a 1-star. I'm a little more pessimistic than these guys because I hated that finish. That finish brought it down. And now the Meltzer rating.
Oh,
wait a minute. He gave it.
I was gonna say 2.25 was gonna be my guess.
3/4 of a star.
Oh, he hated it more than us.
Well, they weren't dead at first rated it.
Yeah.
I gave him some fuck holes.
Yeah. Y'all. That brings us to our next match, which is Savio Vega with the Nation of Domination at the ring, taking on the young whippersnapper, Rocky Maivia. I tell you, that kid's going places.
Yeah, yeah. This was, as Shane likes to say,
it's the Nation with the white guys!
It was the Nation with the white guys.
Yeah, this match was actually better than it should have been. Like, it really is better than it was entertaining. Savio Vega was fucking really, it's one of those things that you're like, how did this guy of all, like, not, because he really could wrestle and he was.
Well, man, there's literally two guys, but three technically that actually made it. Nobody made it from the Nation, man. Farouk, I guess, kind of made it and became Bradshaw's partner. Yeah, well, yeah, The Rock and Mark Henry. Like, those are the two. I mean, those are
But Farouk, he led the time. Yeah, and D'Lo Brown.
Yeah, but D'Lo Brown was nothing more than a solid mid-carder, dude. I mean, and he was much better than that, but that's all he ended up as. And Farouk ended up becoming Bradshaw's partner and drinking beer and saying, damn. Yeah, like...
And is still, but he's got a ring, doesn't he?
Yeah, but is that from the Nation or is that from damn and drinking beers? I don't think the Nation is a non sequitur.
Okay, here's the thing though, and I've said this before on, I don't know where, I think I said it, Jane, but I honestly think that the fucking Nation, the Nation goes in and stayed in that, the
I think they
fame.
Should. They definitely, rewatching it, I remember being pissed off at them when I was younger because like half the roster on Warzone had their, because they were half the roster.
Oh.
Now here's the thing though. Who goes into the if the Nation goes into the Hall of Fame? Who goes?
Not
Rock,
the white
Mark
dudes.
Henry, Godfather,
and now and I, okay. And so D-Lo. This is and so this is what it was in relation to. Does
but it
the
would
God...
be the Godfather be comma?
Yes,
he'd go in as comma. Absolutely.
Yes. But then does he go in also as Papa?
No.
You don't think Papa Shango gets? Dude, Coco be Coco.
We don't
beware.
Forget Crush. We don't forget Crush. Nobody
Coco,
forgets
no,
Crush.
Coco
yeah,
beware,
yeah, but Crush isn't going into the Hall of Fame with the
no.
Nation. Though. That's just
no, but the white Coco beware. He's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, but like people actually like Coco. Like Coco was a fan favorite.
People
Papa Shango.
Love fucking shot Papa.
Yeah, now. But like, dude,
I'm just saying, I think he could get. I'm rooting for our first interview, our first official fucking.
Well, Godfather seems like a good dude, fun guy to be around. I'm rooting for him too. I just don't think he's gonna.
Well, I do. I'm being up, and but this match was more exciting by far. But again, another stupid. Like, it's like they don't want to have any real finishes. So this one was what fucking Ahmed Johnson running in.
No. This one was Crush beating up The Rock and getting Savio Vega disqualified. And then
Ahmed
Crush...
came in for the save.
Yeah, but didn't he come in with the fucking 2x4 hacks up?
Yeah, but that wasn't the finish. I mean, the whole finish was to set up for that, but
Well, look, I'm going to take a minute and read this comment right here. How fucking great with Terry? I thought he was really selling the gimmick.
You cocksucker. Who the fuck is controlling that, huh? Yeah.
But,
comment from such good shoot account. Weird. Farouk was fucking... Farouk, legit, man, he's the guy who should have been the first WWE black guy. Like, he really should have.
Absolutely.
Oh, this is better than Blue Helmet.
What was that gimmick called again? Do you remember what that gimmick was called?
No.
Okay, I'll have to look it up.
What the
but
hell
Jesus.
Are you talking about?
Oh, Farouk's first gimmick in WWE.
Oh, it was bad.
It was bad.
While
I'm
he's
sorry.
Looking this shit up.
DDJ, if he's watching.
Shane, can you give this match a rating?
Oh, this match... was short, like really short. It was exciting the little bit it lasted. The Rock hit some really nice arm drags on Savio Vega that I liked, and you're still kind of starting the evolution of Rocky Maivia into The Rock. You know, he's getting bigger, he's getting poppier, you know, he's really, really fired up. But then there was just a bullshit finish. The match didn't get enough time to go, and the time it was going, it wasn't as good as what it could have been. This was a, I don't even know, one-star match? I think it's actually worse than the first one.
I liked it more just because Savio was so...
Yeah, but like, they weren't that good in this match.
I thought Savio was great in it, honestly. I thought he was fine. But just real quick, Simmons, he made his debut on 22nd July 6th. This is his outfit. His
oh, that is shit.
Farouk Asad, a gladiator, wore a black and blue gladiator with a misshaped helmet. Managed by Sonny.
It was a special kind of terrible. I'm going to give this match 1.75 stars, and it's only getting that high because of Farouk on common.
Wow, okay. Yeah. Fuck, I like this one more than most. On a second best match for me when fucking Austin and Bret Hart are fucking the last time they main evented, I gave them 5 stars, and now like they're obviously sub 2.
Yeah, they real quick, talking about commentary, I want to give a special shout out to the
Crypto.
Yeah, I was gonna say Mac. But Jerry Lawler was not terrible on this particular night at all. The commentary was really fucking good throughout.
Really good. That was the only
JR and the King are like finally starting to like gel together, and you can start like sensing that connection, you know, and the chemistry they had.
McMahon is
he's a great commentator, but I tell you, if you watch this pay-per-view and those Raws and you listen to the shit he laughs at, you can see why WWE is where it is today.
Oh yeah.
The thing that gets him to get that.
At one point.
Farted, pal.
At one point, I think there was a match going on, but JR and the King start going at each other over whose hat is more stupid. Lawler's like, I bet Ross has that thing on too tight. You know, it's choking his brain. And, you know, ha ha ha. And then JR comes back with a. Oh, says you with the, you know, with that crown on. And like, Dozer just said, Vince just starts laughing. And I'm like, okay.
That's such good shit.
That's such good shit, pal.
But did you rate this match? I forget, Isaac.
Yes.
Okay.
I gave it 2 stars because it entertained me. I thought it was like, the finish was still fucky. Yeah. Ahmed Johnson running in his, he reminded me of like the old Christmas fucking advertisements of the little kid wearing the fucking red pajamas with the little fucking buttons down and his ass cheeks exposed. That's what his outfit reminded. Why are you wearing your Christmas PJs, bro? Like you're here to fight.
It was terrible.
2x4. But yeah, no, the match itself, so much better than the first.
And, you know, we now need the Meltzer rating.
What did he give it? Wait, hold on. Shane, what do you think Meltzer gave? Fuck, I know what I'm...
1.25.
3/4 of a star.
Oh!
Dude, he loved it. Oh my god, dude. He's gonna give this whole pay-per-view a fucking half star.
Oh, it's because it wasn't in the Tokyo Dome.
Oh, it wasn't AW.
That won't be around for another 30 years, but... Okay, that brings us to...
Marvelous Mark behind you?
What are you doing? Oh.
Sorry, I was looking at what was going on in those...
They're beating up Stone Cold while he's taking a shit.
No,
they're just hanging out in the back. They are currently just hanging out in the bathroom.
We'll get there.
Celebrating.
That is my favorite part of this whole pay-per-view, honestly.
Well, honestly, I think that's where we are. Like, I think that happened between that and this next match. Which is Jesse James in roadie gimmick pretending he's Jeff Jarrett because he really sang the song, taking on the newly debut Rockabilly.
Rockabilly. Oh my god, this match was all right
cursed.
But it was like the match itself was like didn't bother me as much as all the gimmick. One of them's pretending to be fucking what's his face?
Jeff Jarrett.
No, no, Jeff. Honky well, Jeff Tonk. Jarrett, yes, but the other one's trying to be honky tonk, and it's like
gotta be slapping.
But again, like this is a perfect example of them throwing everything they can at the wall and stick. And like this? The reality is like these two guys together made them shit.
Oh yeah, they become one of the greatest tag teams in WWE history.
Shit.
But right now,
ton of money.
He enters the ring just singing country.
But you do like in the ring the very, very beginning flashes of like some of the stuff they take with them.
Hey, Master.
And like the rest of it, like they leave behind. But yeah, the early gimmicks were really bad. But it's interesting to see like, okay, these guys have something and they just kept throwing shit at the wall. And it's great because this was before you had the internet. Like, you know, like with. When Bray Wyatt debuted, everyone was... When Kane debuted, nobody was chanting fucking Isaac Yankum. And that's the thing is, like, there's just something special about the fact that there was still a sprinkling.
I just want to say, watch, I learned. Billy Gunn has always looked old as fuck.
Well, it's not even that. It's like, he's like... It's like Patrick Stewart, right? Like, Patrick Stewart was, like, 22 and looked like 65.
Yeah.
But you look at him now, and you're like, I guess he still kind of looks 22, right?
Yeah, Billy Gunn looks basically the same. Less hair, yeah, but basically the same.
Billy Gunn's just a little balder, man. And he's definitely pretty old now. You know what I mean? But he's definitely mid-50s.
See, that's why Patrick Stewart had the right idea. He just went bald right off the bat. And that's the man his time.
Yeah.
Sorry, I love Patrick Stewart. If I was ever to bang one pretty, 100%. 100%.
And
he's a legend.
Power move, man. You're fucking for the tail, not for the fun.
I'm doing it because I feel like I owe him the pleasure. You know, like I should pleasure him. He deserves. Okay. I'll be a power bottom for Patrick.
And on that incredible bombshell, did we have anything about the actual match we want to talk about?
What a match. I'm sorry. I broke Shane.
The Rockabilly versus
old Billy Gunn. I mean, young Billy Gunn.
Yes.
Double J Jesse James.
There's one thing I want to talk about.
No, Isaac, shut the fuck up. You don't get to talk. You wait.
No, this is for real, though. Like, it's about the match. It's about the match, and it's my favorite part. It's when Billy Gunn went for the fucking big splash in the corner and fucking and he missed it and he did the big double hop fucking Ric Flair bump. Oh, it was so good.
Yeah,
so...
I bitched a lot about this match. But like now that I'm thinking about it, it really was like one of the better like in-ring match night. And that's crazy to say. Yeah.
And especially considering just how green Road Dogg was in ring.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it goes to show how good Billy Gunn is.
Yeah, but this match just ripped in 1994 juices. Like, it's just disgusting. I Isaac and I watched this match. This is the first match we watched together. And I said this live, and I was just like, Jesus, it's everywhere. Just the gimmick.
It's
horrible,
gimmick. Yeah.
Horrible gimmicks. It's horrible to see Jesse James trying to be Jeff Jarrett, because he's not slap nuts. It's terrible to see Billy Gunn with the honky tonk man, and they're both just constantly posing, taunting. And somehow I liked it the most out of the past two matches. So it's like a 1.75 from me. It almost hits.
Wow, this was 2 for me. It was as entertaining as the last. Was there a real finish?
Yes, I think there was a pin.
Yeah, there was a small package, because I bitched about that as well.
Yes, that's right. It was the small package off the fucking corner.
Yeah, yeah. And then, Honky Tonk looks like a big dumbass because he's trying to sneak up on him with this thing, but he misses. And then Jesse James goes to the fucking guitar, and Jesse James goes, "Oh, you tried to hit me with it, didn't you? Ha ha, no." And then just leaves. Like,
it was so, like, again, it was very, but the match, the in-ring work was intermine.
It felt like an actual match.
Yeah. And
at least I'm
going to give it 2.25 stars. I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed the gimmick schmaz. I enjoyed Honky Tonk on commentary a bit. And that brings us to the Meltzer rating.
Who Meltzer?
He has been shitting on this, so I'm going to say he gives
1.5.
1.25.
Fuck.
We split the difference, bud.
Yeah. And that brings us to our co-main event of the evening.
Okay, so this is the main event. And hold on a second, because before this happens, there's fucking like the whole like backstage segment. But this is another part of this paper I liked. And this is Doc Hendricks trying to sell an Undertaker door hanging like fucking tapestry. He's like, I tell you what, no one will ever come in your room. They'll be so scared. The Undertaker's on your door, pal. Only $29.95.
You know, watching so Doc cool. Hendricks in this, he is like the Yankee interpretation of the goddamn Colonel, the KFC Colonel. If a Yankee had to make him, that's what you get.
Oh, and real quick, I want to throw this back, stuff we like. I forgot about it. Bret Hart cut the best promo of his entire career on this particular night. Owen Hart and the British Bulldog talk for him for about 4 minutes, and then he just says two words and gets up and leaves. And I was like,
my favorite part of the whole night,
by the way,
was fucking dude. The Bulldog trying to explain attacking Stone Cold in the bathroom, and him going like, Owen and I, we were just hanging out in the bathroom,
celebrating our victory,
and he came and he attacked us. He attacked us. It was unbelievable. And I'm just like, I had to rewind it just because I was laughing so hard. Because I'm just like, dude, you two dudes were just hanging out in the bathroom celebrating a victory?
Well, so that's the kind of shit that happens in backstage in WWE.
Yeah. No, you
just like everybody
coke.
Watches a TV like this.
Cocaine in the bathroom after your match.
Yeah.
And fucking Austin. Austin,
I thought they were jabbing each other in the ass with some steroids, human growth hormone shit.
Are you sure you want to start talking about asses right
now? No, he is not so, sure.
That brings us to our main event. That brings us to our main event tonight. Well, our co-main event. It was supposed to be the main event. They named the pay-per-view for this shit, and it is The Undertaker taking on Mankind for the WWF World Heavyweight title. Leading up to this, you have the chance of Paul Bearer getting back with The Undertaker.
They just did the Ric Flair bump behind. Yes, I saw it again.
There was some good lead up to this match, and I think it had the most hype of everything, as it should, through the Raws. It was good. And then the match.
The match was awesome. And Jesus Christ, Mick Foley. Talk about fucking showing up for a fucking match on the fucking worst pay-per-view of the years. Those bumps, motherfucker, took in railing.
It's getting yoinked. Absolutely yoinked.
Irish railing and like the second one especially, it looks like he just hit the very middle of the back of his head connecting on the top of the railing. They showed it from like the one angle and it looked terrible. It looked so brutal. And then they showed it from the side where you could see his and it looked even worse. You're like, God.
Well, yeah. And then this fucking idiot goes up to the second turnbuckle, right? You remember this? And mm-hmm. Taker is on the ground selling
He's
something.
He's on the ground outside on the
directly on the ground, not the apron. Mick goes up to the second turnbuckle and then drops his fucking elbow from the second turnbuckle to the floor, lands like a sack of shit. It doesn't make Undertaker look any more hurt. Foley just gets up and starts going. I'm like, his hips are done. They are toast.
Uh-huh. And fucking he does a couple couple tombstone, or not tombstone, but pile, like Foley pile drivers. I mean, the match itself was actually pretty fucking good. Like, for what else we've seen in this pay-per-view, like Foley went hard. 100 and Taker.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
you know, like, he puts on great matches pretty consistently. I think the thing that was like this match would have been probably 3.5, maybe even 4 stars for me if it hadn't been like really, really fucking finish with the fire, and like it just like really, really fucking felt like they fucked everything up.
Well, they definitely fucked everything up.
Like, it looked like Foley was supposed to accidentally burn Bearer.
And Undertaker has him at like a weird like kidnapping range, like, you know, and he's like, here he is, and then Taker's like, I mean, Mankind's like, whoa. Taker's like, okay, here he is right here, and then
it was,
you can just see Foley like trying to fuck with something, and it looks like he's struggling to put like brass knuckles.
Yeah, it's really weird, dude.
You could tell really he hasn't weird. Used the fire gimmick much. He's gone through a lot of fire, but never not familiar with the fireball.
So yeah, and that really fucking just detract because so confusing and so obviously wrong.
And just distracting. Yeah, I mean it was
very, especially considering how good every.
Yeah,
I mean even when Undertaker went old, like it looked really fully took that. Fucking bump into the announce table head first, like his just head went through the table, and you're just like, what are you, it looked like they just like fucking like a cartoon, like his head just went through a hole in the middle of the table.
That's why Foley was always the guy that never won the title really, but he was always fighting for the title because he is a fucking brick shit house. He exists to make companies money and make people look good, but never look good for himself. That's the bottom line, you know.
But
unfortunately,
no, but like, how many careers did he make? He
all right, Randy, Triple H, The Rock.
Edge. He helped Stone, Edge. Blow
Stone
Edge
Cold,
up.
Ed, G E. Yeah, I mean, but seriously, I mean, Triple H, obviously, Taker. The Rock, Taker. Randy Orton is the biggest. Like, oh, dude.
I don't know. I think Triple H, like, the way he.
Yeah.
But I don't know. There is a lot of them.
Yeah.
Like, it's like 97. Like, after, like, pretty soon here, we're going to see him switch over from a feud with Take. And it's when it gets really brutal. And that's when it takes Triple H from Hunter Hearst Helms.
Oh, I'm excited for that.
He's one of those guys.
I'm giving this match a 3.5 because I really enjoyed it. You know, I'm not going to go into as in-depth analysis as they are because that's just not my style. But I will tell you, the Meltzer rate.
Oh, behind you is that.
Oh, shit.
That promo.
I thought you did rate it already. God damn it, rate it.
Well, I was saying that if it wasn't for the finish, I would have given 3.5 because of the finish. It deserves more, but the finish was so, and they fucked it up so bad. 3.
I agree. It's a 3.
High five.
Higher, but the Meltzer rating comes in at 3.75.
3.75.
He's really rocking the quarter stars this pay per view.
He really liked this match because it was. It was legitimate.
The finish was stupid.
Yeah, the finish
was really fucking stupid, man.
You know, God, it's one of those. But you know what? As stupid as this finish was, somehow this next match with two fucking incredible refs, one of whom is legitimately one of the best of all time, the other one is the best there is, the best there ever was, and the best could ever be in the history of the entire.
Yeah.
This next match was dogged.
It sucks so much.
I do not understand how a match with Stone Cold and fucking Bret Hart could suck so much, but
and again, so much. We know so much, dude. You suck so much.
It sucks so much, dude.
It was so long, janky, and disjointed, and there was no selling of anything. It didn't even matter that Stone Cold got jerked off in the bathroom or whatever. Like,
it was really only a couple minutes longer than the match before that.
Yeah.
It just went on forever. And I was like, how is this so bad?
My question throughout the whole thing, where's the fucking ref? This was not an ODQ match, as evidenced
by the
finish.
Neither was
the
last one, though. I mean, the last one wasn't either, hitting each other with chairs and shit.
Like,
well, the last one was an I Quit.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're talking about Mick Foley.
Right? Yeah.
I'm fucking dumb.
Just so much schmoz, chairs and poles and fuck.
Here's the bottom line is that you Mick Foley go out there and just take death bumps, right? And there's nobody better, especially around this time, as Mick Foley at taking these kind of bumps, at least on American normal television. You know what I mean? I'm sure somebody will go, well, this guy from, All Japan Pro Wrestling took this bump. Oh, fine. But Mick Foley is the standard bearer of American death bumping at this point.
And man, followed maybe what? Oh my God! Look at this. Is that an official? Like, stop that.
Yeah,
stop.
it took me three quarters of the fucking podcast to come up with the idea to do that shit.
Yes, right. Enjoy it.
Three quarters of the podcast. We've been doing this for a year, though.
Look, I just got on meds. I'm just getting there. You're just getting the best dose. You've had shitty doses.
That's not true. That is not true.
We've had a wonderful dozer. But back to the match. You know, Mick Foley, you had him taking death bumps left and right, whatever. Then you have Stone Cold come out, no sell, getting jerked off in the bathroom, like I said. Like, it's not even brought up in this match. And, the whole reason why this main events is because he got beaten up in the bathroom.
Apparently he got injured or something, and then, like, they took off his brace.
Yeah, no, and they like, interview him backstage and doing, like, the Michael Jordan flu game deal. You know, like, the towels on his head, and he's all beaten up.
Like, I feel like
shit. Yeah. I'm still gonna go out there, and your monkey ass can't tell me no. What?
You son of a bitch, get out of here.
But, he comes out, he doesn't sell it, and then he starts beating Bret Hart around the arena, which sounds great and all, except for the fact that, like, Bret's a big pussy who won't take bumps for anyone, ever.
Well, and here's the thing. In the match before.
Yes.
The exact same thing that was done 10 times better.
Yeah, and Bret is just not the guy to be taking, you know, concrete bumps. And again, it's fine. You know, this is the reason why he got kicked in the head once and it ended his career or whatever. But it was just such a boring start. Everything felt discombobulated. There was no selling. Nothing mattered. Then it ended with a fucky finish.
And then you're like comparing it to that last performance where they just put on one of the best of all time, like really a truly incredible match.
And you're left
just shaking your head as to like what the fuck happened. Both these guys are really good. They have chemistry. I don't know.
Well, we've got the weed guy. It's kind of like Fat Chick Thriller, Mike Awesome.
Slime Guy Dudley.
Isaac.
Weed Guy Dudley. Weed Guy Dudley.
Weed Guy Dudley.
I'm just Green Bastard, parts unknown.
Dozer. Fucking just green. Dozer.
Oh,
not the bulldozer. Here. Not the doe. Just keeping green. It simple.
Green Bastard, parts.
Iman! Don't tell that to Vince. You know the gimmick he's going to give you with that.
Literally just make you Emmanuel, dude.
So let's rate this match, guys.
It was boring, and I
you like old shit.
Yeah, I like boring. God, it was...
Oh damn, it was... Man, I'm giving it at least a 2. Actually, I'll give it a 2. There we go.
I was fucking begging.
Yeah, and
the whole time
you weren't even expressing how much you wanted it to end. I was yelling. I'm gonna give it a 1.5 just to get that out of the way.
Yeah, I was rugged. So soul abyss.
Look into my eye.
The big question, are we in agreement?
What is the Meltzer?
The Meltzer has given it 3.75.
Oh, get the fuck out of here, Dave. This isn't the Tokyo Dome.
I'm sorry. What match? That shit was boring as fuck. Legitimately, and I'm the first one to fucking suck off both those guys in ring. Like, I fucking love, like, Stone Cold is probably my all-time Bret Hart
favorite. Fucking Kurt, man.
Kurt's up. Kurt, I mean, yeah, Kurt, fucking Stone Cold, Roddy Piper, Brock Lesnar. These guys are deaf, but God.
Yeah,
so
just the whole show was really bad. But I'll tell you the one great and wonderful thing about...
Hold on. Isaac will suck off anyone who subscribes to the Patreon.
Which we don't have a link
or,
for.
Or just our
Patreon, they pay for that. Fuck off. There's 40 something YouTube subscribers. There's zero Patreon subscribers. I'll suck them off all day.
Okay.
But the one real quick great thing about the In Your House format, right, is that this shit was like, so even though it sucked, still like, all right, man, it only sucked for 2 hours.
It was shorter than a current Raw without commercial.
Which is a great, anything that's not one of the big.
I love the length. I'm going to give the whole pay-per-view a 1.5.
I give it.
That is absolutely a fair rating. Boys, we ended on a...
drink, motherfuckers, as we got to do, you know, that goodbye shit. Mm. So.
I feel like we're going to announce it. So make your announcement, and I'll...
You know, we decided, as we're going through this, we're doing this pay-per-view review, why the fuck are we only looking at WWE? So starting next week, we're also going to be reviewing the pay-per-views from this month. Well, last month in WCW.
The year 1997. Yeah. The whole...
We're going to start matching pay-per-view to pay-per-view.
Yep. So the pay-per-view that matches up with this is Spring Stampede from April 6th of 1997. In Tupelo, Mississippi.
And I'm really genuinely excited for both of you to watch some of this stuff. Because I was going to say, I'm in a weird position where I'm, not much younger, but, a decent amount of years younger than the both of you two. And I've seen a lot of this WCW stuff. So I know what I'm talking. Like,
yeah,
Schiavone is your illegitimate father. That's what happens.
Yeah, when you're clone of Schiavone.
Oh, holy shit! No wonder why I always want to watch WCW. Fuck.
Oh shit. But yes, and I do want to. At some point this month, we are going to have a very exciting WWF Legend podcast. So we're going to have another exciting interview, which has really become something that's been a lot of, you haven't gotten a chance to watch, go back. We've had quite as much fun on the podcast as we have with that one. Maybe the Super Showdown episode we did with the whole crew was a lot of fun, but this one was genuine. There was some really good, go check out, keep an eye out for the big announcement for the dates of our next interview.
And so that'll be coming live from our Facebook page, Such Good. There's a link down there. Join the group at Such Good Shoot at facebook.com/group/ Such Good Shoot. Buy the shirt at the link scrolling down below, and it'll eventually be in a description of a video or something, and just search Such Good Shoot. You may eventually find it, I don't know.
And then search Such Good Shoot on Instagram, Twitter, Patreon,
YouTube.
Do it all. YouTubes.
And
episodes get put up, 420 every Saturday?
Only
every Saturday morning.
It'll go up when I say it goes up. We haven't officially decided a time.
Yeah, we can do whatever we want. We can put it up right now, whatever.
No, it's not live now. I got to still edit this shit.
No, it's live right fucking now.
Well, it is live right now. And it's about to be not live. So, subscribe, ring that bell icon. Send us out, guys.
Love you guys. Thank you so much for joining us. See you next Thursday at 10:05 Eastern Standard Time on Such Good Shoot.
9:05 Central.
I've been Isaac. Word. That's Shane.
Word.
That's Dozer.
Make wrestling great again.
We're Such Good
Shoot. Hi. Sorry, bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.